And now for reading and writing and radio.
Personal appearance is looking the best you can for the money. When I dress up, I never can slip out the door. My mother says, "Come here," and I do. And she says, "Now turn around," and I do. But before you dress up, you have to scrub yourself clean all over. My mother says I don't spend enough time in my bath, so I hung my clock on the hot water bottle hook in the bathroom. And when I was through, I got me a piece of paper and a pencil, and I wrote down face, 5 minutes, ears, 5 minutes, one arm, 5 minutes, two arms, 10 minutes, one leg, 5 minutes, two legs, 10 minutes, back, 5 minutes. Then I stopped writing. And when I got dressed, I went back and wrote, "P.S. I forgot my stomach." I like North Carolina scrubbing better. When I visit my grandmother, everybody washes in a pan in the kitchen after you lock the door and pull down both shades. Then you start at the top and go down, and then you can't miss anything. I get tired of that same old thing. Sometimes I start at the bottom and wash up.
That essay on personal appearance is by Virginia Carey Hudson, age 10 in 1904, 86 years ago. But you too can write about how you take a bath.
WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
Today I'm going to tell you about a book written by a 10-year-old, and I'll read you parts from it. It's called O Ye Jigs and Juleps by Virginia Carey Hudson. Virginia didn't intend to write a book, and these writings of hers weren't published in a book until about 30 years ago, when she would have been close to 70. I'm not even sure she was still alive to know about it. What she did write were school assignments back in 1904. She lived in a small town, Leesville, Virginia, and went to a church boarding school. A boarding school is where the students come from all over to go to school. They live in dormitories, eat together in a large dining room, and in a church-owned school, go to church together, have religious education, and so forth. In Virginia's day, boarding schools were usually all boys or all girls, and maybe they have changed some now. And usually at boarding schools, then and now, there are a certain number of day students, kids who live in or near the town whose parents want them to attend the school and pay tuition to have them go there. But there's no need for them to pay extra to have their kids live there. They can eat and sleep at home. Virginia was certainly a day kid because she refers so often to her parents and her home, to the kids on her block, to the bullies on Holton Street. She's always popping in on an elderly friend, old Mrs. Harris. She has the run of the town. She rides her pony. The bishop comes to tea. She must have lived at home. But she went daily to school. And when she was 10, she had a teacher who assigned topics to write about, like I do here on Reading and Writing and Radio. The teacher must have liked the way that Virginia wrote and what she had to say, for there are 10 essays in this book. The teacher can't have said, "Oh, Virginia, you mustn't write like that," and covered her compositions with red pencil. Or else Virginia would have quit writing so freshly and so obviously enjoying her own writing. The teacher must have said, "All right, I've enjoyed what you've written on personal appearance and how you take a bath. Now, how about spring?" And somebody else liked these enough to save them. Probably her mother, for these writings were found in a trunk up in an attic. Perhaps her own daughter discovered them, Virginia's daughter, and then published all of them for us to enjoy. I'm calling these compositions essays. What does that mean? Well, you write an essay when you take a topic such as personal appearance and expand on it, writing what you know and what you think about it. It doesn't have to tell a story. An essay can contain stories, and Virginia's usually do. That's one thing that makes them so interesting. An essay is really supposed to stick to the subject, to have some unity. But fortunately, Virginia regularly wanders from the subject, and wherever she wanders, it's interesting. So we can be glad her teacher didn't say, "Now, Virginia, this is irrelevant. You must stick to the subject," but just let her write the way she wanted to. The church school was an Episcopal one. The Episcopal Church is sometimes called Anglo-Catholic, and Episcopalians see themselves as both Catholic and Protestant within both traditions. Virginia is steeped in church language, ritual, prayer, hymns, theology, Bible, and she's writing these essays for a church school teacher who sometimes assigns church topics. Here is what Virginia has to say about sacraments. Sacraments are what you do in church. What you do at home is something else. Cooking and sewing and running the Bissell sweeper and eating and sleeping and praying and scrubbing yourself are not sacraments. When you are little and ugly, somebody carries you in church on a pillow, and you come out a child of God, an inheritor of the kingdom of heaven. They pour water on your head, and that's a sacrament. When you are 12, you walk back in yourself with your best dress and shoes on and your new prayer book your mother buys you, and you walk up to the bishop, and he stands up, and you kneel down, and he mashes on your head, and you are an Episcopal. Then you are supposed to increase in spirit. Then everybody kisses you, and that's a sacrament. Only I left out the bread and the wine. That's a sacrament, too. I tasted some of that bread in the choir room, and it tasted just like my goldfish wafers. Then when you are married, you go back to church dressed up like you never were before in all your days. Somebody sings, "Oh, Promise Me," and your sweetheart is waiting up by the preacher, if he doesn't forget to come, and you get a new shiny gold band on your finger and leave town, and that's a sacrament. Miss Molly Anderson got all ready to get married, and she let me see all of her lovely clothes all spread out on the bed in the spare room. Only she didn't get married. The bridegroom forgot to come back. He traveled, and I guess he took the wrong train or something. Mrs. Anderson shut the shutters, and nobody would come to the door, and when I went around to the kitchen door to take Miss Molly some cinnamon drops, the cook says to me, she said, "Go away, scat." But Miss Molly didn't care if he did forget to come. She bought her a new bath suit, that would be a bathing suit, with a big sailor collar and ruffles around her knees, and she married Dr. Tom Wood, and I like him. He is handsome. That old absent-minded bridegroom was always saying to me, "Little girl, isn't it time you were going home?" And I had only just gotten there, and I barely had time to sit myself down in the parlor. You see, there she's told us a story. She's gotten off the subject, but now here she is getting back to it. But then you get carried back in the church again, but you are dead, and it takes six people to lift you, and everybody cries, and that's the last sacrament you are going to get. Mrs. Park was old and so sick she didn't even know her own children. Maybe she was tired fooling with them all those years and just acted like she didn't know them. When Mrs. Park died, I sure didn't cry, because I bet when she waked up and found she was dead, she was just tickled to death. One day we got tired of playing hopscotch and skin the cat, so Edna Briggs said, "Let's play baptizing." I said to Mrs. Williams, "May we play baptizing in your rain barrel?" And she said to me, she said, "Yes, indeed," and she just went on tatting. So I put on my father's hunting breeches and got Judge Williams's hat off the moose horn rack, and I dressed up like the Baptist preacher. The Episcopalians, you see, the bishop mashes you on the head, and that's baptism. But in the Baptist church, it's full immersion. You have to go all the way under the water. So that's why they're playing Baptist. It's much more fun than playing Episcopal. Let's see, that was when Edna ran to get all the kids, and I said to them, I said, "The Lord is in his holy temple. Keep silence and shut up." And then I said, "All you sinners, come forward and hence." And nobody came but Melvin Dawson. He is just 2 years old. Poor little Melvin, he is so unlucky. I got him by the back of his diaper and dipped him in the rain barrel once for the Father and once for the Son, and when it came time for the Holy Ghost, poor little Melvin's safety pin broke and he dropped in the bottom of the rain barrel, and everybody ran, and nobody would help me, and I had to turn the rain barrel over to get him out, and then I galloped him on his stomach on my pony to get the water out of him, and then I sat him inside his house, and then I went out to Mrs. Harris's house and got under her bed, and when she looked under there and saw me all soaking wet, Mrs. Harris said, she said, "Rain and hail in Beulah Land, what has happened now?" And when I told her what had happened, she just patted her foot and sat, and then she said, "You know what?" And I said, "What?" And Mrs. Harris said, "The bishop sure needs just such a barrel in the churchyard to give some members I know just what little Melvin got." And then Mrs. Harris said, "Let's talk about fishing," and we did. Thank God for fishing. Thank God for Mrs. Harris, and God bless poor little Melvin. Amen. Oh, let's see. You'll notice that besides getting off the subject and getting back onto it and then getting it off again, getting off it again on the little Melvin story and the rain barrel, and by the way, rain barrels are what people used to have to catch the soft water, the rainwater, off their roofs for washing hair and clothes and things like that. You don't find many rain barrels these days under the water spout that comes down from your roof. You notice that Virginia also finds it convenient to end her essays with prayers and amens, and this certainly saves you from having to think up an appropriate last sentence. The teacher, let's see, must have assigned this one, too, on etiquette. That is how you behave. Appearances. Where is etiquette here? Etiquette at church. Before I go into the house of the Lord with praise and thanksgiving, I lift up mine eyes unto the town clock, from whence cometh the time, to see if I am late. It is not etiquette to be late. Now, is Virginia being serious in that sentence? I can't believe that she isn't smiling a little bit and grinning when she wrote that, because it's a parody on a psalm. In the Bible, one of the psalms starts, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, whence cometh my help." And I myself, when I was 10, was steeped enough in Bible and biblical language and style so that I, too, in a poem I wrote, used a psalm form. And it's a poem you kids have heard before. It starts out, "Beautiful is thy tongue, O Shep." And that is just the way a psalm begins. So I think, I was grinning when I wrote that. I think Virginia was grinning when she wrote, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the town clock, from whence cometh the time." So then she goes on. "Do not hop, skip, jump, or slide in the church vestibule. Tip, tip all the way to your seat. Be sure and do not sit in other people's pews. Jesus wouldn't care, but other people would. Paying money makes it yours to sit in. The first thing you do is kneel down and thank the Lord for your mother and your father and your breakfast and your lunch and your dinner and your lovely wallpaper and your new pink garter belt. Then you can sit and look around just a little bit. Don't turn around and look. That is not etiquette. Kneel when you pray, stand when you sing, and sit when you listen. On Communion Sunday, take off your right glove and leave it in your pew. Don't wait until you get to the rail and the body and the blood come around. Don't try to drink up all of the wine. That is not etiquette. Leave some for other people. Never punch people in church or giggle or cross your legs. Crossing your legs is as bad as scratching or walking in front of people or chewing gum or saying damn. Don't lose your place in the prayer book. Bow for the cross and for the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. When the choir marches back to the vestry room and the minister calls out goodbye to the Lord until next Sunday, then you can speak to people. The Baptist church is next door to our church. They sing as loud as they can all the time we are trying to pray. I bet the Lord can't hear one word we say. Of all the people who come to church, I love Mrs. Harris best. Mrs. Harris is Mrs. Porter's auntie, and that makes her important. Mrs. Porter is the rich woman in town. But Mrs. Harris doesn't care. She just goes on picking beans. She taught me to tell the young ones from the old ones, just like people. She says I'm a good picker. When I ride my pony out to Mrs. Harris, she plays for me. She plays, "See the train go round the bend. Goodbye, my lover, goodbye." I bet she plays that because she knows that my father is with the railroad. Mrs. Harris is cute, and when she dies, I am going to cry and cry. Mrs. Harris takes me fishing, and I carry the worms and the lunch, but not in the same box. You'll notice how far Virginia is from etiquette at the moment. She stops the buckboard in front of my house and hollers, "Yoo-hoo!" That's for me. Mrs. Harris is crippled, and it is hard for her to get out. When I am with her, I boost her. She says I am the best booster in town. When we get to the Meadows Creek where we fish, I climb out over the shafts and let down the horse's check rein. Mrs. Harris says letting down the check rein is just like getting home and taking off your Sunday corset. But I am not a horse, and I don't have a corset, so I wouldn't know. When I had the measles, Mrs. Harris brought me the most darling June bug with a red thread on his leg and tied him to my bedpost. Etiquette is what you are doing and saying when people are looking and listening. What you are thinking is your business. Thinking is not etiquette. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. P.S. If you want to stay awake in church, go to bed early Saturday night. You can't go to the altar rail until you are 12. That is God's etiquette. You can't put on perfume until you are 16. That is Leesville etiquette. After you are confirmed, your sponsors in baptism can't be blamed for what you do. You are on your own then, and if the devil gets you, it is your own fault and serves you just right. Amen, and the Lord have mercy. Well, I could go on and read you some non-church topics. There's a wonderful one on an afternoon stroll where she says that, I'll just read you one line out of it because it's long and I won't have time to read it all. It's where she's fighting with other kids. But then she comes back to it and she says at the end, "When you stroll, you never hurry back, because if you had anything to do, you wouldn't be strolling in the first place. If I get a zero on this composition for fighting in church, I just don't care. That Alice Coleman insulting the saints in glory. Maybe next time I will get 99. I never get 100. Something is always wrong. Maybe one day I will. Maybe one day the Lord will help me to get 100. And then she finishes, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Selah, O Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, grant me peace and not zero. Amen." So, what essay topic shall I assign you today? It could be anything, of course. Visiting relatives, what it's like in my neighborhood, personal appearance, how to be good, punishments at school and at home. That might be a good topic, with plenty of chance to tell stories, punishments. Or if that's too strong a word, how about discipline? Discipline at home, at school, even at church. Or punishments and rewards. But feel free to assign yourself a topic or decide together in your class on a particular topic. For instance, Jane Ford's Little Flower class, which is in a Catholic parochial school, you kids might want to write on church etiquette in 1990. Has it changed that much in 87 years? 86? But whatever you write, include lots and lots of interesting detail, like Virginia does. Get off the subject. Include the stories that you're reminded of. Include people's words, especially if they're vivid, like rain and hail in Beulah Land, and in another place, Mrs. Harris says, snow and ice in Beulah Land. Be sure to include lots of conversation, the he says's and the she says's. That tells us a lot about what people are like. And be sure to comment on what life is like in this peculiar world that you find yourself in, that we've all found ourselves in. You know, it's like we come into a movie in the middle when we're born. We don't know what's gone before. We just gradually have to begin to find out what it's all about. And all of our views on what it's all about are different. And then at the end, you can voice your own prayers if you want to. Lord, please help me with our reading and writing and radio, and let my composition get read over the air. And I'll say, amen, and may the force be with you.
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.